You may be seated. I think that since we're in this particular setting, a college campus, I'm relatively safe in saying that most of you have either asked or been asked this question. Is this going to be on the test? Now, that's a fair question by many respects. Why shouldn't the student know what the professor wants him to memorize or vocalize, theologize, synthesize, or categorize, all the while making sure not to plagiarize? Now, sometimes the instructor is going to be nice and lay it all out for the students, making it very clear what it is that they'll need to know. And since Jesus is the ultimate instructor, we shouldn't be surprised to see him doing this for his closest students. Let's listen to these words from Luke chapter 18 that make up our reading for today. Then Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "Listen, we are going up to Jerusalem. Everything that is written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked, insulted, spit on. And after they flog him, they will kill him. And he will rise on the third day." They understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. This is God's word. So as you're contemplating Jesus' words and thinking about the reaction of the 12, I want you to think about this question. What do you need to know? Now, most likely you're going to need to know more than the 12 apparently did in this text. From this account, it doesn't seem like they knew much at all. After Jesus told them what was going to happen to him, Luke says they understood none of these things. Now, from a human perspective, how could that be? Here these men had been traveling around with Jesus for about 3 years. They had been the recipients of his teaching. They had traveled all around as he taught large crowds, as he taught them individually, privately. They had watched him perform countless miracles, even raising people from the dead. They were witnessing every day that their rabbi, their teacher, was not just another teacher. By all accounts, they should have been able to listen to what Jesus told them was going to happen and realize that this was simply part of what the Old Testament prophets had foretold. You see, they had already done that to a great extent because they knew who Jesus was. They knew that he was the Messiah, the Savior, the one promised through the Old Testament prophets. Think about when Jesus had asked them, "Who do people say I am?" And they came up with some answers that Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But then Jesus asked them specifically, "But you, who do you say I am?" And Peter, answering on behalf of the 12, said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So there was no doubt in their minds as to who Jesus was, that he was the Messiah, the promised Savior. The problem was figuring out what exactly that meant for Jesus to be the Messiah. A common belief of the day was that the Messiah was going to come as a powerful warrior king, that he would come and overthrow all of the political oppressors of the people, would restore Israel to its former glory. So many of the people, they tended to overlook the parts of the Old Testament that talked about the Messiah also being the suffering servant, the one who would be betrayed and beaten and killed. And they tended to concentrate on how he was going to come and conquer his enemies. So to hear Jesus talk about his upcoming suffering and death, especially at the hands of the Gentiles, the 12 didn't want to hear that. Note also what Luke adds about the disciples not knowing what they should. He said this saying was hidden from them. It wasn't just that the disciples were in shock or that they were dense. For some reason, God didn't want them to understand this, at least not at this point. So how about you? What do you need to know? Now, in some of my more cantankerous moods, when I've been asked that question, is this going to be on the test? I simply say yes. Yes, you need to know everything. Everything is going to be on the test. Now, you might not like to hear that. You might not like to hear this, that in order to get to heaven, you need to know everything. Yes, everything. You need to know that you are a sinner, and that on your own, you are going to fall far short, and you do fall far short of God's standard of perfection. Jesus said, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Think about today, even at this early hour of the day. How many times have you sinned? Maybe it was that you weren't listening to someone that you should have been listening to. Maybe your teacher. Maybe your boss. Maybe you were a little too full of yourself today, thinking, I am so much smarter than my roommate or my spouse because they can be such an idiot at times. Countless other ways in which you've sinned. And that sin, it gets you an F, a failing grade. And that F is not going to lower your GPA. That F lands you smack dab in hell. But this test is not over. This test for which you need to know everything. You also need to know that all hope is not lost. You see, those things that the 12 didn't understand, that Jesus said that he would be mocked, insulted, spit on after they flogged him, they would kill him. All of those things Jesus allowed to happen to him for you, in your place, so that you don't have to die for your sins. And you already know these things, right? How? Not because of your superior intellect. No, God spoke to you. God spoke to you and he told you these things, not in a dream or a vision, not in some voice inside your head. No, God tells you these things in his word, in the Bible. That's how he has chosen to reveal to you this incredible message of forgiveness of sins, of life, of salvation. Today we're entering the season of the church year, known as Lent. And during this season, we do focus especially on what Jesus told the 12, that he would suffer, that he would die. We do this not to be morbid. We do this not to become sufficiently depressed. We do this to prepare ourselves. We do this to make us fully aware of how much help we need, to make us appreciate the depth of the sacrifice that our Savior made for us. You see, even during Lent, we keep in mind the last thing that Jesus told the 12 here in this passage, the thing that didn't register with them that they missed, and he will rise on the third day. Now, that may not have lifted the spirits of those 12 men, but again, this saying was hidden from them. But for us, that's what gives us hope. That's the light at the end of this dark tunnel into which we're now entering. We know because God has told us that all hope is not lost. We know the happy ending. We know that our Savior passed the final test for us. We know that our Redeemer lives. As we begin this dark journey of Lent, look forward to that day of our Savior's resurrection. His resurrection, which is the promise of our own resurrection from the dead. Amen. Please rise. Let us, this our suffering servant, thank you for taking on our sin and punishment, which we rightfully deserve, and for going the way of suffering and death. Grant us daily repentance and renewal during this season of contemplation. Keep our eyes fixed on you so that we continually see our true home of heaven as our goal. In your name, we ask these things. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.